right. Damn dead right about it. Jaya Radha Madhuma Kunja Vihari. Yasodhanandana Prajajana Ranjana. Jamuna te Raghumana Chalati. Tera mana chaluti, tera mana chaluti, jaya
Jai Hurad Mahamah Jai Dilip Thaludeh. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravidakacharya Osta Tera Sutashi Shimad. His divine grace Savaya Chalanada Bhaktivedanta Gosami Mahashila Prabhupada Kujaya. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kujaya. Ananda Goti Vrindi Kujaya. Namacharya Srila Huidas Thakur Kujaya. Prem Sai Goho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrindika Jaya Shishi Radha Krishna Go Bhagavata Sayam Kun Radha Kunda Kiri Govardhan Ki Jaya Vrindavanam Ki Jaya Maturadam Ki Jaya Navadeepdam Ki Jaya Jagannatha Swami Ki Jaya Yamunamai Ki Jaya Shmani Lasi Devi Ki Jaya Samaveda Bhakta Vrindigajai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth canto, 24th chapter. Text 28. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yaha param rangasaha satchat trigunash jiva sangitat Bhagavantam Vasudevam Rappanaha Sa Priyo Hi Me Yaparam Rangasa Sakshat Trigunat Jiva Sangitat Bhagavantam Vasudevam Prapanna Sapriyo Hime Yaparam Rangasa Sakshat Trigunat Jiva Sangitat Bhagavantam Vasudevam Panna sapriyo hime Yaparam rangasa sakshat Trigunat jiva sangitat Bhagavantam vasudeva Panna sapriyo hime
Bhagavantam Vasudevam
Prapanna Sapriyo Hine
else, ladies? Anyone? Param. Transcendental. Ranghasaha. Of the controller. Satchat. Directly. Trigunat. From the three modes of material nature. Jiva Sangitat. Living entities called by the name Jivas. Bhagavantam. Unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vasudevam. Unto Krishna. Prapanaha. Surrendered. Saha. He. Priyaha. Very dear.
He.
Undoubtedly.
May of me.
Translation. Lord Shiva continued, any person who is surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the controller of everything, material nature as well as the living entity, is actually very dear to me. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki, John. Okay. Now, Lord Shiva explains the reason he has personally come before the princes. It is because all the princes are devotees of Lord Krishna, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita in the 7th chapter, text 19. Vanam janmanam nante yanavam mam prapatyate vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sadurlabha. After many, many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me. Knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is, such a great soul is very rare. So Lord Shiva is rarely seen by common men. And similarly, a person who is fully surrendered unto Vasudeva Krishna is also very rarely seen, because a person who is fully surrendered unto the Supreme Lord is very rare, Samahatma Sudurlabha. Consequently, Lord Shiva came especially to see the Prachetas because they were fully surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. Vasudeva is also mentioned in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam in the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Since Vasudeva is the ultimate truth, Lord Shiva openly proclaims that one who is a devotee of Lord Vasudeva, who is surrendered to Lord Krishna, is actually very dear to him. Lord Vasudeva Krishna is worshipable not only by ordinary living entities, but by demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and others. Yang Brahma Parandu Av. Varendra Rudra Maruta Stuvanti Divyai Stuvahai. Bhagavatam 12.13.1. Krishna is worshipped by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Varuna, Indra, Chandra, and all other demigods. This is also the situation with a devotee. Indeed, one who takes to Krishna consciousness immediately becomes very dear to anyone who is simply finding out and beginning to understand what Krishna consciousness actually is. Similarly, all the demigods are also trying to find out who was actually surrendered to Lord Vasudeva. Because the Prachaita princes were surrendered to Vasudeva, Lord Shiva willingly came forth to see them. Lord Vasudeva Krishna is described in Bhagavad Gita as Purushottama. Actually, he is the enjoyer, Purusha, and the supreme, Uttama, as well. He is the enjoyer of everything, the Prakriti and the Purusha. Being influenced by the three modes of material nature, the living entity tries to dominate material nature, but actually he is not the Purusha enjoyer, but Prakriti, as described in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter, text 5, Aparayam itis tvanyam prakritim vidhi me param. Thus the jiva, or living entity, is actually Prakriti, or the marginal energy of the Supreme Lord. Being associated with material energy, he tries to lord it over the material nature. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita in the 15th chapter, text 7. Mama rang so jiva loke jiva buddha sanatana manaksa stani indriyani prakriti stani karshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. By endeavoring to dominate material nature, the living entity simply struggles hard for existence. Indeed, he struggles so hard to enjoy himself that he cannot even enjoy the material resources. Thus, he is sometimes called Prakriti or Jiva, for he is situated in the marginal potency. When the living entity is covered with the three modes of material nature, he is called Jiva Samgita. There are two kinds of living entities. One is called Kshara and the other is Akshara. Kshara refers to those who have fallen down and become conditioned, and Akshara refers to those who are not conditioned. The vast majority of living entities live in the spiritual world and are called Akshara. They are in the position of Brahman, pure spiritual existence. They are different from those who have been conditioned by the three modes of material nature. Being above both the Kshara and Akshara, Lord Krishna Vasudeva is described in Bhagavad Gita in the 15th chapter, text 18, as Purushottama. The impersonalist may say that Vasudeva is the impersonal Brahman, but actually the impersonal Brahman is subordinate to Krishna, as also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, the 14th chapter, text 27. Brahmano hi pratishtaham. That Krishna is the source of the impersonal Brahman is also confirmed in Brahma Sangita, 5th chapter, text 40. Yasha prabhavato jagadanda koti. The impersonal Brahman is nothing but the effulgence or bodily rays of Krishna, and in those bodily rays there are innumerable universes floating. Thus, in all respects, Vasudeva Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and Lord Shiva is very satisfied with those who are completely surrendered to him. Him here means Lord Krishna. Complete surrender is desired by Krishna, as he indicates in the last chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, text 66. Sarvadharma puracheja mamekam shadanam braja. The word sakshat, meaning directly, is very significant. There are many so-called devotees, but actually they are only karmis and jnanis, for they are not directly devotees of Lord Krishna. The karmis sometimes offer the results of their activities to Lord Vasudeva, and this offering is called karmarpanam. These are considered to be fruitive activities, for karmis consider Lord Vishnu to be one of the demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. Because they consider Lord Vishnu to be on the same level with the demigods, they contend that surrendering to the demigods is as good as surrendering unto Vasudeva. This contention is denied herein, because if it were true, Lord Shiva would have said that surrender unto him, Lord Vasudeva, Vishnu, or Brahma, is the same. However, Lord Shiva does not say this because he himself surrenders unto Vasudeva, and whoever else surrenders unto Vasudeva is very, very dear to him. This is expressed here and openly. The conclusion is that a devotee of Lord Shiva is not dear to Lord Shiva, but a devotee of Lord Krishna is very dear to Lord Shiva. That's the end of the purport. So, again, the verse.
Yakvaram nam samsat shat, Trigunat jiva sangitat, Bhagavantam vasudevam, Ramana sapriyo hime. So. Omagadat vandasha. Gananjana shlakaya chakshur minitam. Yenatas mai shi purve namaha. So, here we find the word rapannaha, or surrender, mentioned many times by Prabhupada in the purport, and of course it's also in the verse. So let's talk about what it means to surrender. Because that word sounds quite frightening, doesn't it? Like if I say to Gopinath, you have to surrender. Surrender. All right, let's talk about surrender in terms of how Lord Chaitanya defines surrender. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives six principles for surrender. And these six principles are elaborated on in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and also the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and elsewhere Prabhupada talks about these things. Another word for surrender is called sharanagati, or to go to surrender. So I'm sure you've heard this word before. So, six symptoms. We're going to talk about this. First symptom is to accept everything favorable for serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Sanskrit word for this is yukta vairagya. Now, vairagya, of course, is an interesting word. It means to be free from passion or the desire to enjoy this world. So, yukta means basically to accept things. It comes from the Sanskrit root yuj, which basically means to connect, and that's where the word yoga comes from. You've heard of yoga before? No, I haven't heard of the word yoga. Yoga doesn't mean different exercises, it means connection. And in the English, we have the word yoke. You've heard of the word yoke? Yoke actually means to connect also in English. Just like if you're ever using oxen to plow a field, which I'm sure you've all done before, not if you have, you put a yoke on the oxen, and the oxen pulls the plow. So that's called yoke, yoking the oxen, or connecting the oxen. So yuj is the root of the word in Sanskrit, it means to connect. And yukta is a derivation from that word, which means yukta vairagya, to be renounced by using things, by connecting to Krishna, by using things in his service, which is very interesting. So generally, impersonalists, they want to renounce everything, thinking that everything is maya. It's a jagat mitya. Isn't it? You've heard this word before? Jagat mitya. Jagat mitya means the material world is maya. The material world is not maya. You are in maya. Because maya means basically, it means different things. It means illusion, means energy. But in this particular context, it means that one is an illusion thinking the material world is enjoyable. That's the maya. Material world is not maya. This table's not maya. You're not maya. You're in maya. The difference. You're in illusion. Thinking that Ishwaraham Mahom Bogi, Siddhaham Balabom Suki. You think you're the enjoyer. You think you're the center. That's the maya. But the material world is meant to be used in Krishna service. It's like you're using so much technology that that's a big lens on the camera. The better to see you with. Anyway, so you're using technology, I'm using technology. I mean, everything we do is so much technology, whether it's the iPhones, whether it's the clothes we wear, whether it's the glasses we have, even the body that we have, it's all technology. And so we use that in Krishna's service. And if you don't use it in Krishna's service, it's called Phalgu Vairagya. Falgo Vairagya means basically false renunciation. Prapancha Katya Buddha Hari Sambandha Voshtana and Vairagyam Falgo Katyate. That if we renounce things or give up things that can be used for Krishna, that's called false renunciation. Actually, Prabhupada sometimes called defined the word Falgu in terms of the Falgu River in India. The Falgu River is a river that doesn't seem to exist. In other words, you just see a dry riverbed. But underneath the surface, it's still flowing. So the Falgu Vairagya means false renunciation, giving up things that can be used. So how do we know what can be used in Krishna's service? That's an interesting question. We know this because we have the guidance of the great devotees, what can be used in Krishna's service. And we also know this because we have our intelligence to understand how to glorify Krishna. I mean, it's not that Prabhupada told us what technology to use. He didn't tell us to use mobile phones because there weren't mobile phones 30 years ago or 20 years ago, whatever it was. Mobile phones didn't exist. So, but Prabhupada has given us direction to maximize the preaching of Krishna consciousness. And so in order to maximize the preaching of Krishna consciousness, you have to use your intelligence. And using your intelligence means use every available means to spread Krishna consciousness, just like we're using Facebook Live here, or he's using Periscope and other things like that, right? So that's what it means. It's not that I'm in Maya for using technology. Of course, one can be in Maya if they try to utilize too much of the material energy, and it's a detriment to spreading Krishna consciousness. So that's the first surrendering principle. Accept everything favorable. Second principle is to reject everything unfavorable. So, what are unfavorable things? Bad association. That's completely unfavorable. Mundane music, mundane movies and things like that. These are all bad association and actually can take you away from Krishna consciousness. Because association, it's interesting. Karanam guna sandasya sadasan majanishu, as Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita. The reason we're entangled in this material world is because of guna sangha, associated with the modes of nature. So we reject things that give us association with the modes of nature. So that's the second surrendering principle. The third one, actually, I was thinking last night that if we think like this, in terms of the surrendering principles, it'll help us chant better japa. Especially the third and the fourth one, and the fifth and the sixth. So the third surrendering principle is to understand the Lord is always maintaining one. As described in the Upanishads, nityam nityanam, chaitanas chaitanam, eko bahunam, yogadadatikamam. That the Lord is maintaining all living entities, so what to speak of ourselves. And another verse from the Bhagavad Gita that verifies this is ananyas chintayantamam yejanak paripasate tesham nityabhiyuktamam yogacchemavahamiham. Anyone's heard that verse before? That means one who serves me, I preserve what he has and I carry what he lacks. So very important principles. So in other words, we have full faith that Krishna is maintaining us. And then, the next surrendering principle is to have full faith that Krishna is protecting you in every circumstance. Of course, that does not mean that one should not take adequate measures to protect himself, because that is actually coming from Krishna, the intelligence how to protect oneself and the facility to protect oneself. I mean, for example, let's say you're driving in a car. Some devotees have said, don't wear seat belts. Because if you wear a seatbelt, that means you're not depending on Krishna. You ever heard of this before? One time I was in, many times, I'm in India, and I put the seatbelt on in the car, and the driver chastises me. He says, "Don't you have faith in Krishna?" He says, "The only time we wear seatbelts in India is when we're going through Delhi, because we'll get a ticket if we don't wear seatbelts. Otherwise, don't wear a seatbelt." And I said, "Yes, I have faith in Krishna. Krishna is giving me this seatbelt." Another example is, once upon a time I was going around Govardhan, circumambulating Govardhan, and a big bull started to chase me. And I ran away. I jumped over a hill, got away from the bull, and everyone was laughing at me. "Where's your faith in Krishna?" I said, "Well, Krishna's given me these legs." Or the story that Prabhupada told about a gentleman, he was a Christian actually, and he had great faith in God, that God will protect him. And what happened is that once upon a time, some of you may have heard this story before, once upon a time there was a big flood, and this man was trapped in his house. And the government sent a boat to try to rescue him. And he said, "No, I'm not going to take this boat because God's going to protect me." And so then the water went higher and higher and higher and higher. Finally, he was in the roof of his house, and the government sent a helicopter, and they lowered the rope. And they said, "Grab hold of the rope." And he said, "No, God is supposed to protect me." And then the water rose higher and higher, and he died. And he died, and he went to God. Somehow or other, he was a good devotee, went to see God. And he said, "God, why didn't you protect me?" And God said, Krishna said, "You fool! Didn't you see the boat and the helicopter I sent for you?" So in other words, having faith that God will protect you doesn't mean you don't take adequate measures yourself. For example, if we go outside, this morning was a little cold, so I wore a little jumper, as they say. Or in America we call it a hoodie. You heard that name before? Hoodie, jumper. I didn't think, "Oh, Krishna should just keep me warm. You know, let me walk outside in my swimming suit. Krishna will keep me warm." No, because Krishna has sent these things for me. So to understand, understanding God is protecting you means you should accept everything that God has sent for your own protection too. But we have that faith, Krishna is protecting us. So then you may ask, well, if Krishna is protecting us all the time, why do devotees get sick? Why do devotees get in accidents? Why do sometimes devotees get attacked by people, you know, anyway, who are of different religious persuasions, who kill them if Krishna is protecting them? You know, why? I just chanted the prayers of the Lord Nrsingadev and someone still hit me on the head. Well, the reason is that Krishna protects you sometimes by putting you in difficulty or danger so you'll surrender to him. Because ultimately, there is no protection for this material body. It's not that Krishna is going to keep this material body running for 10,000 years. That would be horrible. So Krishna's protection is he does what's best for you. We have that faith that whatever happens to us outside of our own, let's say, abilities, is being done by Krishna. And Krishna's protection is to bring us back to home, back to God as quickly as possible. So I mentioned, before we get to the final two principles of surrender, I mentioned that this will help you chant japa better. How will it help you chant japa better? Well, generally during our japa, we are planning out what to do the rest of the day. Right? I mean, we shouldn't be. But generally we're chanting and we're planning, what if this happens? What if that happens? What am I going to do? if that happens. So if we have faith in Krishna, if we're surrendered to Krishna, we'll understand that if we simply concentrate on his holy names, Krishna is going to give us intelligence on how to do everything the rest of the day. If we concentrate on Krishna's names while we're chanting japa, not while you're driving your car. You know, I've seen people driving their car with a bead bag in one hand, prasadam in another hand, and steering the car with their knees. I don't know if you've ever seen this. And they're shifting the gears too, you know, with the bead bag. You ever seen that? They put the bead bag on top of the gear shift, you know, and eating sweet balls the other hand. Anyway, obviously when you're driving a car, you should be concentrating on driving a car, because that's Krishna's service. So, getting back to the point, so while we're chanting, we should understand by chant well, I don't have to plan the rest of my day while I'm chanting. Krishna will give me intelligence if I concentrate on the holy names. Because Krishna says, Vatakspratir Gyanam Aponam Cha, I give intelligence, remembrance, and forgetfulness. 15:15 of the Gita. So, if we remember that Krishna's protecting us, Krishna's maintaining us, Krishna's giving us intelligence, that will help us chant japa better. And then the final two surrendering principles are to have no separate interest than the interest of Krishna. Of course, that's mentioned by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Anabhilashita shunyam jnana karmana apritam anukulena krishna shilanam bhakti. The devotional service means ananyas chintayantar. So it means to have no other interest than the interest of Krishna. That's surrender. And so if one thinks like that, then they're actually surrendered to Krishna. And then the final principle of Sharanagati, or surrender, is to always be meek and humble. That's the hardest one. It's easier to accept everything favorable, to reject everything unfavorable. It's easier to think the Lord is always protecting one and maintaining one. It's a little harder to think, to have no separate interest other than the interest of the Lord. But always be meek and humble. That is so hard. So how do we do that? And actually, I'll explain why it's so hard. Because the more you advance in devotional service, the more people appreciate you. In fact, according to Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, devotional service, or the byproducts of devotional service, is one of the causes of anarthas. The anartha meaning, in this particular case, false pride. Because the more you advance, the more people will praise you. And of course the statement is, he who praises me is what? My enemy. So, that doesn't mean that if someone praises you, you think you're my enemy. That means you think this praise is very dangerous in my spiritual life. So let's say, one gets to get a high position in the Krishna consciousness movement, or you know, become a guru or something like that. You get praised all the time. In fact, you even get a book written about you every year. What's that called? The Vyas Puja book. And that book, Jai Shishi Gornatai, Gornatai, Jai. In that book, people are saying so many nice things. You got lotus feet. You are so sweet. Isn't it? You get a book. Can you imagine if one of you had a book written about you every year? You know, look at those feet. They are so sweet. They can't be beat, those lotus feet. Anyway, so then you even start worshiping your own feet after a while. You look at them. So it's hard to be meek and humble. isn't it? Or even if you think you're meek and humble, that's a problem too. You say, I am humble. That means you're not humble. So what do you do about it? It's a cat. It's called Catch 22. So, anyway, we're going to tell you how to be meek and humble. First of all, you have to be alert. But secondly, the way to become meek and humble is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sunadapi Sunichena. He says become meek and humble. Become more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige. And then he actually gives us the method. He says, Manina Manadena. He said, offering respects to others. In other words, serving others, not just offering respects in terms of externally, please accept my humble obeisances, Prabhu, get me the prasadam. And actually, the devotees, they do a lot of things externally. We use the word Prabhu a lot. You've heard about that word? The word Prabhu means master. But usually we don't use it understanding what it means. We were speaking about this last night, how we say things and do things and don't understand why we're saying or doing things. So we say, Prabhu, come here! You rascal, Prabhu! That's good. No, we need someone to laugh. It's nice to have children around. You rascal, Prabhu. Prabhu, you're in Maya. I mean, it's like saying, oh, master, you're in Maya. So we should treat everybody as actually Prabhu. That means someone who should be served. But generally, we think we should be served. Sometimes I've observed, going around to different temples, I travel around the world, that during the Sunday feast, the devotees are the first ones in line for prasadam. I mean, the temple devotees, or devotees are the first ones in line for prasadam. I was, one of the temples I'm in charge of is in Fiji, and the devotees were first in line for prasadam. So what I had to do is tell the devotees, you eat last. And they said, why? We're hungry. And I said, you get a chance to eat prasadam every day. These guests are only coming once a week or maybe once in their lifetime to the temple. You should serve them. And then the devotees started to complain. What do you mean serve them? They're karmis. They're demons. They're rakshasas. They're malechas. They're rascals. They're, you know, we got a lot of nice words. And then I had to set the example. What I did is I actually started serving the Sunday feast there, going around to everybody and giving out the prasadam. And it was very blissful. I was happy. I was smiling at the people. And that's how I trained the devotees. You should smile at them, not think, why are you eating so much prasadam? I hope there's enough left for me afterwards. Right? So it's a service attitude. And that's how we spread our Krishna consciousness movement too. If we have this service attitude, people will come and join our society. You know, people come to the temple and we're not nice to them. You know, devotees are all sitting and socializing amongst themselves. And you ignore the guests. I mean, who will join? Who will join? I mean, we're a service organization. That means when someone comes to the temple, we should be so happy. Oh, you've come to the temple. I remember going to some other religious institutions to see how they cultivate people or bring people in. And I was received better in those institutions than I am in the Hare Krishna temple. You know, I went to the Mormons one time. And just to see what they do. And they greeted me so nicely. I said, oh, Swami, how are you? how's the Swami family? I said, I'm a sannyasi. But you know, and they were embracing me, the man, not the woman, of course. And I said, wow, where do I sign up? Because they were, even they had that service attitude. So it's good for us, and it's good for spreading the Krishna conscious movement if we have this service attitude. Understand, we're servants. And of course, if you go on Sankirtan, you're serving people out there, isn't it? You're giving people the books. It's just, it's a wonderful thing. A family. And how do you get that? You see that everybody's part of the same family. Just like I was talking to one devotee yesterday, that devotees render service to each other, and they were thinking, you know, how come this devotee is rendering service? But it's actually part of the same family. We're all part of the same family. We're jiva souls. Jiva bhuta sanatana. Yastu sarvani bhutani atmane vanapashati sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tatonga vigigupshate. So Krishna says, or not Krishna, but it's in the Upanishad, one should see all living entities as connected with each other. We're all connected. And then so we serve each other. That's what Prabhu means. And so how does someone who's sitting on a big seat or being a guru deal with it? He understands that that's his service. He's serving others by giving Bhagavatam class or by accepting worship. He's serving his spiritual master and serving others. So anyway, that's the final surrendering principle. So if one keeps these surrendering principles of Sharanagati in his mind, then he can easily advance or quickly advance in devotional service. And as stated here, Lord Shiva loves those devotees who are completely surrendered to Krishna. And it's an interesting statement in the purport. I just wanted to read that for a second. 424, 28. Let's read that again. Where Prabhupada says something quite interesting that I wanted to touch on. Here it is. That see if I can find that. Oh, here it is. There are many so-called devotees, but actually they are only karmis and jnanis, but they are not directly devotees of Lord Krishna. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? In other words, many people, and I'm not sure it's no one in this room, but many people may be dressed up as devotees. But what does devotee mean? Devotee means someone who is devoted. And actually, even Prabhupada said one time, sometimes people come to the Krishna conscious movement and they may be agents of Kali. That's pretty exciting. That don't go around calling each other agents of Kali. That's not a good idea. But in other words, we should apply this to ourselves. We should think, am I a so-called devotee? Or am I interested in surrendering to Krishna? And what's the benefit of surrendering to Krishna? You become happy, you become satisfied, you have a purpose in life, and you live forever serving Krishna. Not in this body, but live forever serving Krishna. So anyway, so this particular statement is meant to be applied to ourselves. We should think, am I a so-called devotee? Am I a real devotee? Am I a jnani? A jnani means someone who's interested in liberation. Am I a karmi? Devotees misuse this word karmi often. The word karmi basically means one who's engaged in the karma kandya practice. It doesn't mean someone who's eating meat. Someone who's eating meat is a bikarmi, not a karmi. So what am I actually? Am I a devotee? Do I actually want to serve Krishna? Do I actually want to love Krishna? Do I actually want to serve my spiritual master? Or am I just doing devotional service ritualistically? Or am I just doing devotional service because basically I want to get something out of it, position? Or am I doing devotional service because I want to get liberated from the material world? What is my motivation? We should be a little introspective. Anyway, so these are some of the points from this verse in purport. So any questions or comments? Yes.
It would be really interesting to hear a little bit of different states of surrendering, how it develops, and what you do to develop.
Different states of surrender. Okay. So, there was Shraddha, Tata, Sadhu, Sangota. Anyway, there's a whole hierarchy there. The first part of devotional service is when one gets sadhu sangha. Now, bhakti begins with sadhu sangha, actually. What do I mean by that? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes, is an interesting verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Brahmanda Brahmate Konma Bhagavanji Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Lata Bish, which states that the living entity is wandering around all these universes, various bodies, and then by the mercy of the spiritual master, he gets what's called the Bhakti Lata Bish. That means that seed or of devotion, the creeper of devotion. And so that's when surrender begins. He gets the seed, but the seed has to be watered and properly taken care of, and you have to watch out for weeds too. When you're growing anything, there's usually weeds. Everyone knows what a weed is. A weed means something you don't want. It may even look like the main plant. Unless you're expert, you may confuse the weed with the plant that you're trying to grow. So then that's called sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha means the association with great devotees, sadhus. And that's when you get the bhakti lata bija. And then when you associate with the great devotees, then you engage in the process of watering that seed, which is called bhajana kriya, which means the chanting, the hearing, avoiding offenses. And as you engage in this bhajana kriya, you work on things in the heart that are not so favorable, like they're called anarthas. Everyone knows what an anartha is. Anartha means things you don't want. What don't you want? You don't want lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, fear. These are things that people in modern society want, isn't it? Lust. I mean, the most popular medicine is the lust pill nowadays. You've heard of this before? It's called Viagra. It's a lust pill to increase it. Even old people, like who are 80 years old, who are not supposed to get it, are buying it on the black market and having lust parties, old men. Did you know this? Terrible, isn't it? Lust. And then anger. People are increasing their anger. How do you increase your anger? Does anyone know? Oh, anger comes from frustration, from not having what you want or what you desire. But also comes from associating with people who are angry. It's like sometimes I'm taking an airplane going through an airport, and usually at every airport there's a sports bar. You know what a sports bar is? And they're watching the sporting game. And as they're watching the sporting game, whatever it is, you know, rugby or football, whatever, they're angry. Isn't it? They're actually, it's interesting, when they're watching, they actually reflect the mood of the players on the field. So it's like, get him! Like that. So they're cultivating anger. So lust, anger, greed, and of course, modern advertising is meant to encourage or increase our greed. You gotta have this. television, and of course not. Now it's the internet. It's interesting, the internet is so much arranged by the expert technologists that somehow your computer knows what you want. That's a special thing called content management. That if you look for something one time, I mean, I've experienced that. You know, one time I was looking for a mobile phone or whatever on the internet, and then all these advertisements come up and hit me about the same thing I was looking for 2 weeks ago. It says, "How does my computer? How does my mobile phone know about this?" Anyway, so that modern technology increases these things, or is an attempt at lust, anger, greed, and then illusion. You're not the body. Fill the belly, not the soul. Fill the belly, that's the goal. You're the body, not the soul. That's my poem. That's part of my other song called Kali Yuga Rat. So, which we'll let you hear one day. So, lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy. I gotta have what you want, what you have. And then finally, fear. So these are called anarthas or impediments in devotional service. So as you're chanting, you're working on getting rid of these things. That's called Cheto Dharpana Marjanam, cleansing the mirror of the mind, cleansing the mirror of the heart. And so that's the next stage. And then when you get rid of these things, or trying to get rid of, or mostly gone from these things, then you achieve the stage of Nishta, which means steadiness in devotional service. Nishta means steadiness not only when you're in the temple, but throughout the rest of the day, 24/7. And then when you achieve that stage, after that you get Ruchi. You've heard about this before? Ado Shraddhita Sadhu Sangota Vajanapriya. I'm sure some of you may have heard of this. Then you get a taste for devotional service. And then you get very attached to Krishna and Krishna consciousness. A Shakti. And then after that you get bhava. Bhava means like intense emotions. Goranga valite habi pulaka shavir hari hari nani bhavi niya. That every time you hear Goranga, the name Goranga, what happens? The hair stands. You got enough hair to stand up there. When my hair stands, there's nothing to stand. So the hair stands on end, quivering in the body. Ashrutaranga Bhaja. Tears come from the eyes. So that's bhava. And actually all these different stages of bhakti or surrender have been described or analyzed by our acharyas. So this, I'm just giving a very quick explanation. And then finally after that you get prema, which is pure love of Krishna. So these are the stages. But it happens, it's gradual. It's not that you can surrender one day. But if we concentrate on these surrendering principles and practices, which I mentioned, the six of them, then gradually, if we keep this as our goal, just like if you're going to some particular place, you're driving to a destination, if you keep the goal in mind, you won't stop at any place and just spend too much time there. Just like if you're driving, let's say from here to Tampere or something like that, you've got to stop at the petrol station. If you remember that you're going to Tampere, you're just going to take your petrol and keep driving. But if you don't, you're going to stop at the petrol station and just start looking at, I don't know what you look at. You get bewildered at all the petrol pumps or something. Or go inside and look at all the food inside. Or whatever. But you remember your goal. So we should be goal-oriented. Our goal is to love Krishna. Go back to Godhead. And if we keep this goal in mind, then everything else becomes easy. It's like someone was asking me a question this morning on the internet. This person was saying, I have trouble controlling my tongue. That's, you know, it's difficult. It is difficult. You know, Dharma Dejuayati, Lokamaya Sivirulati. It's very difficult according to the Prashanam prayer. The tongue is very difficult, voracious, and uncontrollable. So, I said, actually, it's impossible to control the tongue. Because the more you try to control it, the more you're thinking of it. Isn't it? The more you think of the tongue. If I think, don't eat sweets, don't eat sweets, don't eat sweets. The more I think about that, the more I want to eat sweets. So the way you control the tongue is by thinking of your goal in life. What's my goal? Well, to be Krishna conscious. And in order to be Krishna conscious, I have to be healthy. So therefore, I'll control my tongue. But if you just think of controlling the tongue, it doesn't work. You just think, you know, how can I control the tongue? You have to think of your goal. What do I want? And then it's easy to give up different things in this material world. If one is goal-oriented, even if one has a material goal, you can give up things. Like if someone wants to make a lot of money and then works hard, then obviously they're giving up things in order to do that. Right? So we should very much keep our goal in front of us. Okay, any other questions or comments? Yes?
What is the safest situation in the material world?
What is the what?
Safest
situation? Krishna's service, chanting the holy names. What else would be the safest situation? If you're asking about ashrams, no ashram is safe. The holy names are safe. Keep us safe. There's no material security in the material world. I mean, if you think you're going to be safe by locking yourself up in a room, filtering the air, so you don't have any germs, it's not going to work. Padam padam yadvi padam mutesha. There's danger at every step. But if one is always taking shelter of Krishna, then you're always safe. Spiritually. You're still going to die. You're still going to get old. There's no material safety. Safest position in the material world. No safety. No safety except for Krishna's names. Danger at every step. So any other questions or comments? Time for prasadam, isn't it? We don't want to keep devotees too long. All right, so thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Dear Maharaj, can I donate you some money?
Yes.